Matthew chapter 13. If you're using a Bible under the seat in front of you, page 1126, if that helps you. Matthew chapter 13. On Sunday mornings, we're looking at some very special parables that Jesus taught, a special kind of parable. Bible scholars refer to them as kingdom parables. And this morning we're going to look at perhaps the most important parable that Jesus told. The parable of the sower sowing seed. It is absolutely essential that we as Christians understand this parable. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I pray that you would instruct us, that you would open our minds so we can understand this important spiritual truth. Lord, I pray for hearts that are willing to hear from you. Teach us, Lord, equip us, make us stronger, more effective as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and let's read this very important parable starting in verse 3 of chapter 13. It says, "Then he, Jesus, spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So this would have been a story that everyone in that crowd would have easily, readily understood. It was an agrarian society. Their economy was based entirely upon the producing and maintaining of crops and farmland. So there's fields and crops all over the place. That is what people did. And to see a sower sowing seed in a field was a very, very common thing. So everyone immediately related to this story. So you have a sower, you have a farmer, there's a seed bag tied to his waist. He's walking up and down the fields, he's digging into his seed bag, and he's casting seed. And Jesus in the story says that the seed falls on four types of soils, yielding different results, obviously. The first soil is called the wayside. Verse 4. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Now, this would speak of the hard-packed trails in and around the fields. There were these trails that would split fields. Sometimes there were shortcuts across fields, these little trails, and these became common right-of-ways for any passerby. A lot of traffic. And so they would become hard-packed clay like pavement. Now, what happens to seed that lands on pavement? Does it penetrate? No, it just sort of bounces off, rests upon the surface. That seed had absolutely no chance of being fruitful. The birds came and devoured it. It becomes bird seed. So the wayside. Then he speaks of a second type of soil called stony ground. Look at verse 5. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Now, don't think of soil that has a bunch of rocks and pebbles in it. Think of a real thin layer of soil over a shelf of lime rock. Just this very thin piece of soil. So you would look at this soil and you would think, hey, that looks pretty good. But it's actually only a few inches deep, and right beneath it is solid rock. And so this soil would go in, the seed would go into the soil, and it would germinate, and it would start to grow, and it would look like it would grow very quickly because it would be pushing off that rock, the roots. And you'd look at these plants and you'd think, wow, they're doing really good. But the roots aren't going deep enough to get the appropriate nutrients and moisture. What happens? The sun comes out. They can't handle the heat. They're scorched. They wither. No fruit. Then the third kind of soil is called thorny ground. Look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. So now this soil would also look fine. You'd look at it, and it looks like good soil. And by the way, it would also even be deep enough. Except that hidden and unseen in the soil are the roots of thorns and weeds. So you can't see it, but it's infested soil. And so the seed goes into that soil, it germinates, it starts to grow. But the weeds and the thorns also start to grow. The weeds and the thorns take the nutrients and the moisture, and the good plant is choked. Again, unfruitful. And then the fourth kind of soil, called good ground. Verse 8, others fell on good ground, yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So this soil is fertile soil. It's cultivated. It's deep enough. It's soft enough. It's thorn-free. And so the seed is planted in that soil. It germinates. It takes root. It grows, and Jesus says it becomes so fruitful, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And you'll notice in the parables that Jesus gives, he usually gives a little twist, gives some kind of a radical little fact. And this last detail is his twist. Jesus is speaking about spectacular, miraculous, supernatural fruitfulness. 30-fold, that's 3,000% yield. 6,000% yield. 100-fold, 10,000% yield. A great harvest that most farmers would hope to expect in that day was 10-fold. Jesus is talking 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. The people would be going, wow, I want that seed. I want that soil. I want that condition in my life. So there's the story. Very simple. Do you understand it? Just this real simple story from everyday life. Now, remember, parables are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. So Jesus taught that parable to communicate very, very important spiritual truth to people. So what does this story mean? What is the spiritual truth that you get? And isn't it interesting that Jesus does not give a straightforward explanation of that parable to the crowd? He tells the story and stops. End of message. And then in verse 9 he goes, He who has ears, let him hear. In other words, there's more here. This story goes deeper for anyone who cares. For anyone who might be interested, come to see me. I'll clarify. I'll give more information. And you see that those who wouldn't go find clarification, this story is completely open to interpretation, isn't it? You could make this story say whatever you want it to. A farmer listening to that story may have thought, he's telling me that I have to be more careful in the way I cast my seed. Right? A newspaper reporter, he's telling me that there's a big story here about the bird problem. A politician might have thought, he's telling me that I need to begin a farm education program, right? I mean, you can make it mean some hippie in the crowd, because I think he's thinking about the legalization of marijuana. You know, I mean, whatever you might want this to mean, you could make it mean, because you don't go to the one who gave it and can clarify. And remember, this is what the parables were for. Jesus told parables to conceal truth from people that weren't interested, that were perhaps even hostile towards him. But he also told parables to reveal spectacular truth to those who were interested, to those who would say, you know, I'd like to find out what this parable means. So thank the Lord this morning that those disciples went to Jesus privately and asked Jesus, hey, what does this parable mean? And thank the Lord that we have the explanation of this parable recorded for us in Scripture from the lips of Jesus so we can understand. This isn't something that we have to try to figure out. This is something that Jesus explains crystal clear. And there's a reason that I said that this is the most important parable that Jesus taught. Because the explanation of this parable provides the clues by which we will be able to understand the other parables. It's very important that we have this explanation. In fact, in Mark's account, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, hey, tell us about the parable. And Jesus says to them, and I quote, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? In other words, this is a very important parable. If you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand the others. Remember, teachers would give us answer keys in school when we had a homework assignment? Hopefully they'd give us the answers. This parable, as it turns out, is like an answer key that will help us to decipher the meaning of other parables. That's why it's absolutely essential that we understand it. Okay, so let's see his explanation. Let's look at it. Let's read it. How does Jesus explain this parable? Look at verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Okay, so systematically this morning, let's analyze this explanation. What does the seed in this parable represent? The word, right? The word. The scripture. Three times he says, he who hears the word. Anyone who hears the word. In Luke's account, Jesus explains the parable beginning this way. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. You can't get any clearer than that, can you? So in this parable, that seed represents the truth of God's word. Spiritual truth. That would also include the gospel message, would it not? The message by which a person even enters the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again that third day. That gospel message, that word. And I love this picture of the word of God as seed. You know, in the Bible, the word refers to itself as bread, meat, and milk. I like that. It's food. It's also referred to in Scripture as the double-edged sword that cuts. I like that. The Bible is also likened in the Scripture to a hammer that breaks up hard ground. I like that. But I really like seed. Think of seed. Think of how powerful and how much life and potential rests in that little seed. You take a little seed, you put it in the ground, you water it, and out springs this beautiful thing. Man, when the seed of God's word is planted in a person's life, the potential for this great life and spirituality and fruit. So the seed is the word of God. Okay, what about the sower? What does the sower in this parable represent? Well, the sower distributes the seed, right? Who distributes God's word? Who preaches the gospel? Preachers. Teachers. Evangelists, missionaries, Christians, the sowers. Certainly, the sower would represent Jesus himself. There he is preaching, right? And just as that sower digs into the seed bag and casts out seed, Jesus is throwing out spiritual seed to that crowd. And likewise, I believe the sower would represent any preacher of the gospel, any communicator of spiritual truth, including every one of us who might share truth. And I just want you to know something. I want you to consider something this morning. There is a whole lot of that seed being sown today. There is a lot of preaching of the gospel. There is a lot of preaching of the Bible. Did you know that the sowing of God's seed is happening right now here in this service? You know, every time I approach this pulpit on Sunday or Wednesdays, sometimes I feel like I'm digging into the seed bag. Casting seed. And that's happening all over the country today in other churches where preachers, teachers are casting seed. It's happening all over the world on Sunday. Missionaries everywhere casting seed. I think of our radio program. Monday through Wednesday, 5:30 to 6, seed being sown through the airwaves. Think of all the potential. By the way, you know our radio program airs in Belize and also Hawaii for free. I don't even know how it got on that radio station, but it's there. And I'd like to go visit someday. And one of the coolest things I think when I get to heaven is to kind of wonder, how did that seed, that's just, where did it land? How did it take root? And not just our radio program, there are a lot of good Christian radio programs, aren't there? Broadcast all over the world. The seed is being sown through cyberspace, through blogs, social media, television. God has his people sprinkled all across this planet with the job of sowing. Did you know every time that you share spiritual truth with someone, every time that you try to speak or witness for Jesus Christ, it's like sowing seed. So I think this parable is very powerful because that's the picture it paints. There's a whole lot of sowers. And the seed is being sown. The only problem is the listeners. The listeners. What do these four soils represent? Four kinds of listeners. I believe this parable exposes the four different kinds of hearts and minds that people have when they are exposed to spiritual truth. So let's consider that. First, the first heart I would call the hard heart. The soil by the wayside. In verse 19, Jesus says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart." This speaks of a person who has completely hardened themselves to God. This is somebody who has closed their mind towards spiritual truth. This is someone who's not interested. Doesn't care. It says this person hears the word but doesn't understand it. The idea is that not that it can't be understood, but that this person does not want to understand it. They choose not to understand it. I'm not interested. No. The hard heart. And what happens? A person like that hears spiritual truth. It hits them. Bounces off their heart. Lies right there on the surface. And to make sure that that seed will never penetrate, the wicked one, Satan, represented by the birds in the parable, comes along and snatches it away. So truth comes their way, it hits, it bounces, it's devoured. And I believe that this is obviously the most dangerous heart to have. You don't ever want to get this heart. In fact, I think this speaks of a person who is no longer able to receive truth. They've been hit with it so many times, it's never made a dent, so no more. Fate is sealed. Remember last week we saw how Jesus told the disciples, man, you better respond to the truth you get, because if you do, you'll keep that truth and you'll get more. If you reject the truth that you get, then you won't get any more truth, and you might lose the truth that you have and never be given any more truth. Listen, every time you hear spiritual truth, every time you hear the gospel message and reject it, your heart becomes harder. And eventually you will reach this place, if you allow that to continue, well, your fate's sealed. You will not be given any more truth. Like the religious leaders around Jesus, as we studied last week. Now you may be thinking to yourself, well, do I have a hard heart? If you're worried, you don't. People who have reached that place, they don't even care. The hard heart. That's one kind of listener. The second heart I would call the shallow heart. The emotional heart. The impulsive heart. Verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, you read it, listen to it, here's the interpretation. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet has no root, endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So this speaks of, this is the person who has an emotional, superficial encounter with truth. Someone who hears spiritual truth, someone who maybe hears the gospel message and gets real excited and says, oh, yeah, I want that. Maybe they run up an aisle and they receive Jesus. And you just see this excitement and you see this burst of growth. They're running out of the blocks. They're zealous. Everyone would look at this person and say, wow. And yet at the first sign of trouble, what happens to them? Gone. The first moment they encounter anything because of the word. Did you see that detail in there? Because of their faith, they're gone. They leave, they abandon the faith, they're gone. They leave church. Never see them again. Now, I've known people like that. If you're a Christian, you've known people like that, haven't you? They seem to get all excited and they only last for a little bit. And then they're gone. You know, there are people that they sort of treat the Christian faith as a phase. This phase in life. You know, we all have those folks in our family that have phases, right? Maybe you go through phases. You know, the person that you, the yoga phase. Then the exercise phase. Tragically, the disco phase. All the different phases that people go through in life. Well, there's a lot of people that treat Christianity like a phase. It's this phase that I'm going to check out. I'm going to try it for a while as long as it makes me feel good. As long as everything goes fine. Listen. Those who meet Jesus Christ are in it for the long haul. If you truly meet Christ, if you have been connected with God through Jesus Christ, you'll last. You'll make it through trials and tribulations. But there are those people that have that emotional response. Listen, the Christian life is not a shooting star that you see across the night sky. We've all seen those, right? They've... and then they're gone. It's not a comet. The Christian life is the North Star. A Christian continues to shine. Weathers the storms of life. So the shallow or emotional heart. Now, some people would say that this represents a person who has never truly been saved. Just a superficial thing. Others say that this represents a person who maybe has been saved, but stays a spiritual babe their entire life. Either way, you don't want that heart, right? By the way, there's nothing against being emotional. When I came to Christ, I cried like a baby. People, when they come to Christ and when there's a brand new born-again conversion experience, there oftentimes is a lot of emotion. But listen, Christianity is not based on emotion. It's a realistic commitment to the Lord. So the shallow heart. The third heart I would call the crowded heart. The divided heart. The distracted heart. Look at verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So again, this is someone who hears spiritual truth, hears the gospel message, receives it. But the truth simply joins all of that other person's interests. Everything else that they're about just simply joins it, becomes a part of it, doesn't take precedent. So it's like you receive Christianity, but it becomes another one of your hobbies. And guess what? You may grow in your walk as a Christian, but all of your interests also grow. And eventually they take precedence over what should matter most, and you stop producing fruit. The thorny heart. Jesus specifically mentions here the deceitfulness of riches. You know, there are people, they hear the gospel, maybe they get saved, and then all of a sudden it's just everything in life becomes about wealth and money and materialism, and that's why they get up in the morning. And that's, I mean, that they're all about that. And they stop serving the Lord, they stop investing in their own spiritual growth, becomes crowded out and you become unfruitful. Jesus also mentions, and the cares of this world. Now this would speak of other things. This isn't necessarily the person who is preoccupied with money or wealth. Just you get caught up with the cares of this world. It gets busy down here, doesn't it? Life in this world is busy. There's lots of cares for us to attend to. I mean, think of all that we do. You know, we got to pay the bills. We got to get up and go to work. Got to fix the car. Got to fix the house. All the chores. Help the kids with homework. On and on and on and on. All the various things that we need to do. And my friend, as Christians, we should be responsible in those areas of life. But those things should not consume us. We shouldn't live in the weeds. Our priority is Christ, spiritual truth. Do you understand? A lot of times we get so caught up in all of the day-to-day things here that we don't give any time to Christ. And you know what? Eventually that gets crowded out and you lose your fruit. You stop being fruitful. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, oh, if we would remember this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Isn't that beautiful? Christian, you can make Christ first. And seek him and his kingdom. And he promises he'll take care of all the rest. Crowded heart. Again, there are some that say this represents a person who never truly gets saved. It also, I believe, can represent maybe a Christian, a person who truly gets saved. They've received the word, but they get distracted. They go off the rails. And they stop bearing fruit. Either way, you don't want that heart. What heart do you want? The fourth kind. Verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understand it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This would speak of the receptive heart. This is the heart that accepts, that understands truth, that welcomes it, that embraces it. It allows that truth to go down deep into the soul. It's a humble reception. This is the person who obeys that truth, who will not let any trial or persecution interrupt, who will not let anything crowd out. And you see that the person who receives God's word like that becomes radically fruitful, radically fruitful, gloriously born again, producing all kinds of fruit. That's awesome. That's the explanation. Very important lesson for us as sowers. Now, if you're a Christian, you should be sowing the seed. You should be out there sharing the word of God with people. Now, maybe you've done that in the past, but maybe you've gotten frustrated because you haven't seen a whole lot of good response. Maybe you used to share truth with people a lot, but you stopped doing it because you weren't seeing the response that you wanted, and you felt like, oh, I'm not very good at this. Or you feel like you're being personally rejected. Maybe you share Christ with people actively and you don't see a lot of response. Well, what do we learn from this parable? Shockingly, 3/4 of the seed doesn't bear fruit. Think about that. Is there anything wrong with the seed? No, same in every case. Anything wrong with the sower? No. As long as they're faithful to proclaim the seed. What's the difference? Hearts. So, don't get frustrated. You need to remember that going in. And here's what should keep you going. There's always that possibility of sowing that seed in a receptive heart. And that person becomes radically fruitful. At any time, did you know that? You could be sharing the gospel with someone, and that person is going to be radically changed by it. There are going to be some that reject, but there will be some that respond. An obscure Sunday school teacher, no one even knows her name or his name, invested in Dwight L. Moody as a kid. Dwight L. Moody. As a kid, he came to Christ. And you know, he grew up. He became one of the greatest evangelists. Has a Bible school that has trained many in the faith. That Sunday school teacher started a chain reaction that will never stop of massive fruitfulness. There's always that potential. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. You never know. And by the way, knowing what we know now from this parable, we can share our faith smarter. Battle against some of the common things that happen. Like when you share the gospel message with people, tell them it's going to be emotional, but it's not to be based on emotions, right? Tell them that up front. When you share spiritual truth with people, when you share the gospel with people, let them know that there will be trials. There will be tough times. Don't ever tell anybody, come to Jesus and all of your troubles go away for the rest of your life. Absolutely not. In fact, if you come to Christ, you will add more trouble to your life. Because the enemy comes against and wants to disrupt and harass God's people. So you tell people, come to Jesus, get your sins forgiven, and you will be saved, and you have the hope of heaven, and he will walk with you through every day of your life. But you will go through some tough times. You be prepared for that. You know, I think when we share the gospel with people, we should mention the Lordship. You know, give your life to Christ and understand this. Jesus expects to be above any other interest in your life. Don't allow anything else to crowd him out. Tell him those things. Let's get good at sowing. And then, of course, there's incredible lessons for the hearers. And that's what I'd sort of like to end with this morning. I'd like to ask you this question, which really only you can answer. What kind of heart do you have? What kind of heart do you have? What kind of soil? Has it become hard heart? Is it getting harder and harder? I mean, do you come to church and it just bounces off you? Doesn't really sink? Humble yourself. Quickly. Don't wait. Don't let your heart get too hard. Maybe you would have to admit that you have a shallow heart, that you're only a couple inches deep spiritually, and that the root needs to grow deeper. And you're kind of the fair weather Christian. You're all in when everything's great in your life, but when things go bad, you go off the deep end. Listen, deepen up. Deepen. Maybe you're the crowded heart. You've let things overtake what should be priority in your life. Repent of that this morning. Come to the Lord. Guard your heart. You know, isn't it so maddening living in a fallen world how quickly weeds grow? I mean, there you are out in the garden. If you garden, I don't garden. I wouldn't know how to garden. But you care about your lawn. You're out there, and you work hard, and you're doing all this stuff. And you know how all the effort you put into it? And overnight, the weeds grow. They grow through concrete. So easy in a fallen world for weeds to just grow. Same thing in your heart as a Christian. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. The weeds grow. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep it. Guard it every day. Be fruitful. Jesus says you can be 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. The idea is it's open-ended. Be as fruitful as you want. Father, I pray, I ask God, that we would be fruitful. Lord, I thank you for these important lessons. Lord, for your people here this morning, those gathered here who know you, I pray for soft, fertile hearts. God, that we would maintain that. That we'd stay humble before you. Lord, that we would become more and more fruitful. Lord, for those who have allowed things to crowd out, pray they come back to you this morning. Lord, I also pray that as your people, you would make us effective sowers of your truth. Lord, first of all, that we would actually do it, that we would share truth with others in our offices, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. And then, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who perhaps has not opened their heart to you. Maybe you're here and you've never responded to the gospel. You've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your heart has never truly opened. Maybe you would say, you know, everything has been superficial. I've had a superficial understanding. I want to give you the opportunity to make sure that it's real. I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now where you receive Christ. And receive Christ this morning, knowing what he's done for you. And knowing that he will be there for you all the days of this life, even if it's difficult. Receive him this morning, knowing that you want him to be first place. Maybe you've never done that. Let's do it right now. If that's you right there in the quietness of your heart, you pray with me. Just cry out. Say, Lord, be my Savior. I invite you into my heart. Come into my life. May your truth sink deep in my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, paying for my sins, rising again. Be my Lord. I surrender my life to you. Fill me with your truth. And make me fruitful for your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.